Hello, everyone. This is Kevin Navratil. I am a political science professor at Marine Valley, and I am also the Democracy Commitment Coordinator, in which I try to promote civic learning on our campus. And recently, I have been trying to highlight some of the great work that we have from local leaders in the Marine Valley area, and I've been very fortunate to be able to have conversations with several of our board of trustees here at Marine Valley. And today I'm going to be joined by Trustee Patricia Joan Murphy. In the past, I've described a lot about how Democracy Commitment, we've highlighted a lot of national politics and Congress, what's going through with Congress and the presidency and the Supreme Court. But I think it's really cool to see what's happening in our own communities and the elected officials and that we have and the work that they do. So I'm very happy to be joined by Trustee Murphy. She currently serves as the vice chair in the Marine Valley Board of Trustees. She's also the Worth Township Democratic Organization committee person. She's a supervisor of Worth Township. She's also been an entrepreneur for several years. So there's just a whole lot I look forward to getting to know more about Trustee Murphy, and just thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me today, Trustee Murphy.
Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it, and thank you for the work that you do and what you teach. And I think it's so important to get anyone that we can engaged in their civic responsibilities and their civic duties, and just really get them engaged in the democratic process. So I want to thank you for doing that.
Yes, thank you. And you know, so many different hats that you've worn. And that politically and in the private sector. So, you know, what got you started? You know, it's been fun to listen to how people became interested in politics. I was a late bloomer. What got you interested in government and politics?
Well, thanks for that question. I really actually can't say that I was always interested in politics and government, but it has been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. Public service was really just ingrained in me since childhood. Neighbors would come to our house and ask my mom for help, to help them with whatever. And she would. And she became this natural leader in the community and organized her first slate of candidates and ran for the first municipal government in the village of Crestwood. And she would take us with her out knocking on doors, and when she was getting petitions signed or canvassing, and I just remember four kids in tow, she'd knock on the doors campaigning for elections, and I remember looking at whoever answered the door, and I'd look up and say, "Would you please vote for my mom?" You know, and I'm like, later looking back, I'm like, that was a genius move on her part, you know,
right? Because
when you think about it, I've been campaigning since I could walk to a door or stuff an envelope or lick a stamp. And it was like a community affair. We all got together and just really rallied and campaigned. There were parades. There were standing outside of the Jewel, passing out blue gumballs and emery boards, nail files with my mom's name on it. I like those days because we got to go to McDonald's. We never got to go to McDonald's unless we worked the McDonald's, the Jewel. But I remember being so excited waiting for the first time I could vote. And it's kind of not everyone's experience, but it was mine, or the first time I was able to become an election judge. I got paid for that, so that was really exciting. In our household, it was just, it was a privilege, you know, it was special when you got to do that. It was a rite of passage. But really, that was all kind of for my mom. You know, she had always tried to say, run for office, you know, you're a caretaker, you're a problem solver. You're born to help people. So truth be told, I never wanted to run for office. I was like, I didn't like the negative parts of it. I don't want anyone saying anything negative about me. I don't want people making up stuff about me. I want everyone to get along, you know. And her advice was, I think that you're made for this, but what you do is you develop a thick skin, and then afterwards you develop amnesia, because those are the very people that you're going to be working with, and next time they might be on your same ticket. She said, but that's how you learn how to get along, and that's how you learn, you know, really to compromise with people, and that's the whole part of what we're trying to do, right? And put in place things that can help everyone in their lives and live a little bit easier. So really when I got interested in it was when I traveled around with my mom the last couple of years of her life. And people would pull me aside and just say, I have to tell you a story about your mom, how she helped me or my kid or my neighbor or our community, our church, our organization, our town, whatever it was. She's been gone nearly 7 years, and I still hear stories like that every single day.
Wow.
So I started thinking, you know, and she, at the end of her life, she said, you know, will you please take care of the people that I've cared about, that she cared about so much for these last 50 years. She was a 50-year public servant, a true trailblazer. And I started thinking, wow, I need to continue her legacy. And then I started thinking, what have I done? What legacy do I want to leave? What difference do I want to make when I leave this planet? And I right then decided I was going to dedicate my life to public service.
Wow, that's really cool. It's really cool on multiple levels. Your mother, trailblazer, completely different era. And those of you who are listening to the podcast, it's audible, but there's going to be a picture that we took beforehand that actually shows some of the campaign posters. And you see that your mother stands out in the photo with some of the other candidates in terms of, you know, being the only woman as a candidate. And to have that, to know the downsides of politics and negativity and personal attacks, and yet still, because of having that impact on the community and carrying the legacy. I mean, that's really cool.
It is. She was a trailblazer. She was the first woman to be elected in every single one of the offices that she held. And as a matter of fact, my office, my current office, supervisor of Worth Township, she was the first woman to be elected in that. And I am only the third woman to be elected there. And she was there decades ago.
So two of the three.
Two out of the three. Wow. Are Murphys. Patricia Murphy and Patricia Joan Murphy. So it's there are people there that she hired 30 some odd years ago.
Yeah. So there's so much I want to learn about. I think listeners may find, like, what actually happens, in this position. So either one. So let's say the Worth Township Democratic Organization or being the supervisor of Worth Township. Tell us a little bit about those responsibilities.
Sure. So in the position of committee person for Worth Township, the Democratic committee person for Worth Township, every township, well, in the city, you kind of have aldermen in wards, and in the suburbs, you have committee people. And basically, the committee people on either side, Democrat or Republican, they have committee people that are elected into the positions. It's a volunteer position. It's a lot of work, but it's definitely a labor of love. But you are essentially the head of your party in your area. So Worth Township takes in 12 communities. If you live from 135th Street, in between 135th Street, Harlem, 87th, and Western, you're within Worth Township, except for a little part in the middle that's chunked out, that's the city. But one of our other trustees, our Chair Cookwood, happens to be the Democratic committee person for Orland Township. And for me, the Republican committee person in Worth Township happens to be my assessor at the township. And that's something that I'll talk about also, how my mother taught me that everybody has a seat at the table. We have to work together, especially on the local level. Most of the change happens on local level. So it's really important that everybody works together for the good of the people. It's not about you. It's about everyone you serve. And that was the message that I wanted to bring forward when I ran for supervisor.
So at that level, it's more of collaborating, problem solving, working together, not seeing each other as enemies because you share different political affiliations. Whereas at the national level, it seems like quite the opposite, right?
Yeah. Well, not everyone's like that, but we are at Worth Township like that.
Oh, okay.
And I think that comes from what my mom taught me, that when she passed, she was a Cook County Commissioner at the time of her passing, and there was a special meeting down at the Board of Commissioners, and both people that represented both sides got up and said, didn't matter. She was a true public servant, and she got things done. And she realized that one story I love was they would be in a room at each other about something for 8 hours, and they were finally would get through, make progress, come up with a solution, and then my mom would say, okay, let's go to Pettorino's now, which is across the street. And I'm like, Joan, we're at each other for 8 hours. She said, yep. And now it's Wednesday. Wednesday we go and share a meal at Pettorino's. We look each other in the eye and we bring each other back and work and start over again. And I think that's true collaboration. I think that that's what we need on more of on the national level too, instead of the big divide that was a very long campaign of trying to divide us. I think we all need to kind of bring ourselves back.
Well said.
With each other.
Right. And, you know, I hear those stories historically, how members of Congress, let's say in the, you know, pre-2000 era would, you know, their kids would go to school together. They were in Washington more. They'd have picnics and the families would commingle, you know, intermingle. And you see that at the local level now, at least in Worth Township. And I think that makes a big difference being together. So you do have a lot of different hats. It's hard to get to all these, but tell me about Moraine. And first, like, just how did you, so you're clearly, you lived in a community in the district, but what was your first connection or kind of background with Moraine Valley?
So, truthfully, it wasn't like a position that I had my sights set on at the beginning. But when I decided to dedicate my life to public service, I was looking for a fit. I ran for my mom's office. Actually, she asked me to run for her office, which was Cook County Commissioner of the 6th District. After her passing, I did. And I ran for committee person the same time. I did not win the commissioner spot. I won committee person spot. And so with that, then, I was kind of, that was my introduction into the political world. But I was looking for some, since I dedicated my life to this, and I'm like, I'm going to learn everything I can. I need to get into this. I was looking for a good fit for myself. And I, as committee person then, I was asked if I would talk to some women that were going to be on the ballot to run for Moraine Valley Board of Trustees, and would I support them? And I said, I'll meet them, sure. And so I agreed to meet with them. And they were a great group of ladies that were running, and I decided to lend my support. And I learned a lot about Moraine at the time when I was researching them and what their, you know, what the position was, because I do, you're basically vetting people. It's almost like a pre-interview, right, to slate someone. And so I fell in love with the mission of the school, and they told me there was a opening for the 2-year term because it was an unfinished term, and would I be interested in running because we fit so well together. And so because of my connection with Moraine, my brothers attended here, took classes there. My mom worked a lot with Moraine Valley. I thought, wow, this is it. I'm listening to my little message from the heavens, and I'm like, okay, let's go. So I'm also a caretaker, and pretty much everyone I was taking care of was unfortunately gone. And so I'm like, I'd go find somebody to take care of, or I could see if I could take care of many. And so that was why I ended up running for Moraine Valley.
That's awesome. You know, I heard very similar, the caretaker analogy of Trustee Robinson as well. A little bit about your responsibilities. So, you know, I think people, you know, we vote for trustees, a board of trustees. I think a lot of our fellow citizens just don't quite understand, like, what do they do? What is a couple of responsibilities?
So our number one goal, and the most important goal, the most important role that we have, is to hire the president of the school. And I am so proud to say that I was on the selection committee that resulted in the hiring of our new president, Dr. Pamela Haney. It was an arduous process. It was a long process. We had some great candidates, but she was the one who stood out. And after the committees did all their work, then the Board of Trustees, we did our work. And I'm really happy that we chose her. I think she's been in, what, maybe not even 10 months, and she's doing a great job. I think she really embodies the mission of the school. I think she, you know, to educate the whole person and the learning-centered environment, to recognizing that our responsibilities to one another and to the world around us and to our community, I really see everything that she's done so far since she's been in is just a part of who she is. She can't help it. And I love the vision she has for the school. I'm really excited to be a part of that and to really bring us into the future, because everything's changing really quickly. And I think that's something that's really great about our new president. She's a change maker, and we're in for an exciting time, I think.
Yeah, it really is an interesting moment in higher education, interesting moment for the kind of trajectory of the college, and I think you just nailed it, you know, in terms of having the right leader at the right time. So, you know, and all these roles, these elected positions, you mentioned it earlier with, you know, some of the grassroots activities. I always had kind of a academic understanding of politics. It was really late in my life where I started doing the actual work of knocking on doors. And it's not for everyone. Maybe it's not for me. But tell me a little bit, like, what do you see about it? What good, bad?
Knocking on doors might not be for you, but there's so many different things that you could do to be involved. You might find something that is for you. You know, yes. So part of what I do to throw that hat back on again as Democratic committee person is part of our job. We have 80 committee people in Cook County, and we got a slate together of candidates that we think would be good leaders to take us wherever we want to go next, right? So we do pre-slating. We go down, we have a slating, we put a slate together, and then we get behind those candidates. So it's my job to find good qualified candidates to run for office, to support them as they run, and to get individuals involved in the democratic process. And so part of that is growing our organization. I'm right now really focusing on trying to get young Dems to be involved. Hint, hint, anybody who's out there that's like 18 in their 20s, we welcome you. But it's once you get in whatever capacity it is, you might find something that you love. It's community again, right? It's you're not sitting on your phone looking at algorithms that are, you know, trying to shape your mind and what you're going to look for. It's so important to get behind people. It'll bring us into why it's important to vote, why it's important to be involved. But if you are involved and you want to kind of be a part of it, you can knock on doors. Yes, I love knocking on doors. I didn't at first, but now I do, because you meet so many interesting people. You get to talk to everyone that you get to hear. It's a listening tour too. What are you looking for? And what are you looking for in candidates? That helps me when I'm looking for qualified candidates. Well, this is what my constituency wants in a candidate, and I'll support that candidate. You know, maybe it's not always, you know, where everyone else goes, but I am very much focused on what my constituents want and what the people that are in my area are looking for, because all the areas are different, you know, so it's not cookie cutter. Everyone's not the same. So in supporting them, it's also our duty to, we have fundraisers. We have to raise all the money for the organization. So maybe you like to throw parties. So if you like to throw parties, maybe you want to be part of the fundraising part of it. Or there's graphic design, because you're making material. There's, if you're into podcasts or you're into video or social media, we create ads for social media. We get the word out. You promote your candidates any way you can, get their names out there, get their platform out there. You go to events, there are, you go to meetings, you could, you know, any way you can to learn about candidates and to promote those candidates to help them. You can, we have petition signings events, and you can just at the very, very minimum, if you're interested at all in kind of testing the waters, you can take petitions at petition time, find out the candidates that you like, and go to your family and friends and have them sign petitions if they're registered voters, or help them get registered to vote. Wow.
Yeah, so Trustee Murphy just really laid out a whole bunch of different ways for us to get involved. And there's, you know, like democracy, where it involves everybody, there's something for everybody, whatever your skill sets are. And I thought, you know, I came into knocking on doors, and I had, you know, I was real nervous about it and going to people's, but you're right. There's a benefit to it too, of sometimes it's like, oh, I didn't know there was an election coming up, and I know that person. And so you're kind of helping inform people about upcoming elections And so it's there's redeeming qualities, and there's something for everybody. So I like the way that you laid out for people to get involved.
The first thing to do to get involved is actually know that there's elections, when they are, and who's running, and why it's important to vote for them, and find out who they are. So you can pick and choose. It's so easy to vote now. You can vote by mail. There's early voting. You can go in on election day. Everything's all over social media. There's a lot. You can learn whatever you can learn about your candidates. There's tons of meet and greets. You can meet candidates. But it's really important to vote on everything, right? Let's take your students, for example. They're staring at their phones. They're voting on what cat is the cutest, or what, game is the best, or, thumbs up, thumbs down on pretty much everything every day. Those things aren't affecting their daily lives, really. But voting for someone, something's going to affect your daily life. Whatever age you are, whatever demographic you are, somebody that is being elected to office is making decisions that is going to affect your life. So let's take the Board of Trustees at Moraine Valley. If you're a Moraine Valley student, we're making decisions that will affect your life. There are your state representatives that are in Springfield, your state legislators, making decisions and passing laws that could affect your life today or tomorrow or next week. And let's say some of the legislative goals are trying to, really coming through, that we're working on was getting the short-term Pell Grants and having courses that are shortened that you can get a certificate faster, having your courses transferred to a four-year school, partnering with companies and the trades are starting to come back to kind of expand. Do we go in that direction? Do we expand our workforce development and bring in trades and partners to everything's changing right now. AI is changing everything, right? We're making decisions on that. Can we partner with these people to kind of have a cyclical coordination with them to train and retrain people? Your life is being affected in so many different ways. How much money are you going to get for financial aid on a municipal level? For schools, your school, if you have kids, school boards are making decisions for your kids. Library boards are making decisions for your kids. Mayors and their trustees are making decisions on your streets, on your water. Everything that your life touches has somebody in office that is kind of like the manager. Okay, so like say you have a job and the owner of the company, and then there's the manager, your direct boss. You want someone who kind of is aligned with how you would want it done, right? So that makes life easier. So if you're going out, you get to pick who your boss is. You get to pick, not really your boss, you get to pick who the manager is of your town, your school, the county, the state, and the United States. So it's really important that every single vote does count, because some of these elections, they come down to a couple votes, a few votes, a few hundred votes. One it took 2 weeks and it was 1,000 votes.
Right.
If you're like, it doesn't count, it does. Every single vote counts. Your voice matters.
Very well said. And something, that comes up in my class, and I'm too busy. I've got to work because I can't afford tuition and I'm busy working. And you'd basically just highlighted why tuition could be different, or, grants and funding for higher education could be different. And, when something is, could be better in our life, it could be our elected officials who could be making decisions to impact the quality of our life. So very well said. I don't know if I have this right, but I have to ask, have you ever been a superdelegate?
My mother was a superdelegate.
Your mother was a superdelegate.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that?
Oh God. So, let's see if I get it right now, but my mom, actually the last convention she was a delegate at, as far back as I remember, but her last one, she was a super delegate. So a delegate will have a certain area that they're representing. So we, in our last ballot, if you voted, you would see that there were delegates for the presidential election. The DNC has come here to Chicago, which is very exciting. And the delegates will, they're the ones really that we elect our delegates. Our delegates go and speak for us, and they put in their votes for who we're going to nominate for our candidate. The superdelegate, I believe, if I have this right, it doesn't have that jurisdiction. They are a superdelegate, so they have, I think, counts for everything, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah, it was, you know, when you vote for president, there's delegates that are awarded based on the vote of that state.
Yes.
Of who wins and loses.
Yes.
And then there's superdelegates.
Yes.
Who can vote however they wish.
They
so
want.
If Joe Biden wins the vote in our state, let's say in 2020, and one of the superdelegates says, no, I think Bernie Sanders is the best candidate for Democrats. So somebody like your mother could have voted differently than actually how the vote turned out. And then my students get so fired up. They're like, wait a minute, that's not very Democratic. But then your mother's like, well, wait a minute, I've been a Democrat in public office for 50 years.
Yeah.
And this brand means something. I want somebody at the top of the ticket who's going to bring out more voters.
Right.
And so it's just interesting.
It is, you're right. And it's interesting because I haven't even thought about that actually in quite a while at this point now. But you're right. And at the last convention, that was like a big deal. And people were interviewing her about it. But honestly, at that point, she was, it was kind of tough. I should have brought that picture. I have some great pictures of her and I down on the floor at the convention. And it's pretty special.
But she got to be a superdelegate because of her public position.
Because of her unwavering, support for that. She's a staunch Democrat for her whole life. She was inspired. She said, I always asked her, I'm like, how did you become so inspired? Like, I knew that my grandparents were involved. My mother was born in South Boston, Massachusetts. And she said she came home from school one day and saw Kennedy was on JFK. And she just said, I just stood there listening. And when he's finished, she said, this is my life. She was a kid, So it was really, not a kid, but she was like, she was young. And she's like, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And I want to make a difference. And she did.
That's really cool. For those doing podcasts, make sure when you do your research, you actually get the difference between Patricia Joan Murphy and your mom's
Joan Patricia Murphy.
Yes.
And Patricia Joan Murphy.
Yes. And so I had that wrong, but I was just so excited because I know so many people are like, how do you become a superdelegate? And what is that process? So I had to ask.
I would have totally brushed up. Yeah.
you're involved in a lot of organizations.
Yeah.
Please salute to our armed forces and sacred transformations. What do they do?
So Salute to Our Armed Forces is actually, again, going back to my inspiration, my mom started a long time ago. We come from a long line of veterans. Everyone in our family, since they've come over to America, have joined up and have fought in every war. And so something very near and dear to us. And so my mom wanted to have an event, not a political event at all, just an event to celebrate and thank veterans. And that's how it started. And it grew every year. And I took it over when she wasn't feeling well. And I've had it ever since. And so basically it's a day, we usually have it in October, and it's at the Doubletree in Elsip. And we just celebrate veterans. We thank them for their service. They come in, it's all about them. We have 200 to 300 veterans come in and their families, and that's what the day is about. It's really inspiring. We have speakers that will tell them, we have tables outside for services that are available to them, and we have speakers that will have something that's interesting for veterans, but also usually Richard's Color Guard will come over and they'll have, play. We'll have last time I had the canine care dogs there for veterans, and that was really cool. They could sign up for Honor Flight. There are so many different things that they can that do while they're there. We have pictures from the years prior, and that's really important, especially we had the first one last year again since COVID. So a lot of pictures, spouses would come and they would take the pictures from the years prior because we lost a lot of people during COVID. And they'll come up, usually the governor will write a resolution. We will have certificates of thank you. We'll have a medal or a medallion. We will have a lot of different people involved in Veterans Affairs will be there, and they'll come up, we'll call their name and their branch of service, and we have a remembrance table there. And they come up, we call their name, we thank them for their service, they go down the line, they collect all their goodies, and that is what the day is about.
That's a great organization. It just highlights, you know, in a democracy how, you know, associations and nonprofits and all, you know, these types of organizations play a key role in our society and helping people and addressing some of the things that maybe government or the private sector can't address every.
And I've had people, it's funny, I've had people come up, well, I'm going to come, and where do you want me? Where should I be on stage? It's politicals, right? And I'm like, you could be in the audience right over there next to, you know, behind the veterans, because this isn't about you. Yeah. This is about them. So, and I did start a veterans department at Worth Township as well, and that's starting to thrive. So we have a nice veterans department over there.
Very cool. One of the challenges with my podcast is keeping my podcast to 30 minutes. Oh, yeah. And so this is the challenge. There's so many great things I want to ask you about. I can't do everything jealous. So I am at the last okay. question. And this is just kind of open-ended. If there's anything that, you know, I didn't get to that you'd like to talk about, or any sort of kind of final message, anybody you want people to know about Trustee Murphy, or just kind of a message to, you know, First Citizens.
Goodness. We have 3 more hours?
Yes, we do.
Basically, since it is about democracy and civic and getting involved, I would just like to invite everyone to get involved. Like we mentioned before, in any way that you see fit. It's just important at the very, very, very least, vote. Because your voice is so important. And it really, you don't think it affects what happens in your life, but it really truly does. And if you'd like to get involved in any way, either with the Democratic organization or the Republican organization, I'm friends with the Republican committee, we'd even do joint things together to sign people up to vote, to speak, to just really engage people in the democratic process, whatever your views. And I'd like to really, for my goal, I want to bring people back a little bit where we share ideas and you can agree to disagree on something. And there's like basically most things we want are all the same, right? We want a good place to raise our families. We want good schools. We want good clean water. We want, you know, we want our lives to be a little easier. We want to make a livable wage. We want, you know, all kinds of things like that. There are fewer things that we disagree on than I think we all agree on. So let's start there. I was going to start actually an organization called Common Ground and invite people in. Maybe you could take this for your podcast if you want, that are on opposite views, sides of things and have different views. And the goal would be for them to look at each other in the eye across the table, not on text, not on emails or whatever, but really in person. And you have a topic, and the idea is that you find common ground and you start from there and then see how much common ground you actually have with people. And that leads you to be able to know it's okay. You don't have to be, it's not black and white. Most things are a gray area. You can find commonalities and you could work on those things first. Yes, there's some things you'll never agree on. That's fine. But there's so much that we work to be done on everything else. Let's start there. Bring people back together.
Sign me up.
Yeah, it's America. It's hopeful, right?
So for those who are interested in getting involved, what's the best way to contact you?
They can contact me by emailing pjm@worthdems.org. They can call 708-789-7703. That's my political phone. They could look us up on the web. It's Worth Township Democratic Organization. It's pretty easy to find me. Great. And so I'd like to welcome anyone to join. And if you are not, you don't share my views and you'd rather meet the Republican committee person, I am happy to make you those introductions as well. His name is Sean Murphy, no relation. And actually his mom was the person between one of the three women that served as supervisor at Worth Township one time. And he said to me when he first met me, he said, I probably threw darts at your picture, your mom's picture when I was younger. And I'm like, okay, me too. I didn't mean that. But I'm like, it was funny. And now we're friends, you know, we get along because they were adversaries. They ran his mom to beat my mom because her name was Murphy. You know, it was crazy. Yeah, so it was funny.
Name recognition goes a long ways.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Trustee Murphy. It's been truly a pleasure. Thanks for all the great work that you do at our college and in our community.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. We'll do it again sometime. We have lots to talk about.
We sure do. Thank you.